is the church in conflict. Nolan? One and two. Okay. Again, the title of this message is The Church in Conflict. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I was running overseeing the church streams, that was a mainstay for everyone. Yeah, it has not changed. I mean, it's the Word of God. But we have to understand that this world is in constant rebellion to the norms set by God. We can agree to that. The whole world is controlled by our enemy, the devil. And if God's people put any trust in anything set up by man, they are in for a great disappointment. Doesn't matter. The last several weeks, Pastor Gary had been speaking about the idols in our hearts, how to fight the good fight of faith. And today, I'm going to take it a step further in such a way that hopefully it'll challenge your thinking about how the world is going. We should be asking certain questions like, what's really going on? Why are these things happening? And some of us do. Some of us are asking them, but we looking for the answers to come from the world. And really, the world has no answers. We need to seek God as to what He says and what He's doing in the world. The enemy is trying to shake and confuse people by the constant flux of change to make people afraid. COVID is a great example of that. One person asked me my stance on it. I said, well, if government didn't change its outlook on COVID like it does underwear, we'd be fine. But they do change. So you don't know. You don't trust them. The devil has constant change going on, and people don't like change. And what we see is this is influencing the church of Jesus Christ. So much so, so much so that they don't know if they're coming or going, and they're being led to compromise just to be agreeable to people instead of focusing our attention where it needs to be focused. These changes are eroding our foundations of faith and slowly ensnaring the church with the bondage of compromise. Today I would like to address four specific areas just to give you some things to think about. Has to deal with our virginity, has to deal with our purity, our humbleness, and of course, our submission. Virginity is not what you think it is. The definition is that we're in a state of being chaste, having the freedom from sexual intercourse. But the reality of what Christ is talking about here is having childlike innocence. It's innocence. You're a virgin until that innocence is taken away. And we need to understand that Christ is not looking for us to come up with all the answers. He's telling us to have childlike faith. childlike innocence about everything. Yeah, we could question Daddy as to what's going on. And we can expect answers from Daddy. But we need to protect our innocence as much as we possibly can. The world has altered God's standards for living by trying to convince us that everyone is entitled to love whomever they want. Sounds agreeable, and we would agree with that statement. But the fact of the matter is, it's in total violation of what God is saying. And I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about today. Are we protecting our innocence? Are we protecting the innocence of our children? Are we protecting everyone from themselves because they think they have answers? The only one that has the answers is Christ. It's in violation to the decrees of God in one respect, in reproducing life. God has only one standard. You must be married to have children. To have children out of wedlock is running rampant today. Because the world has altered the standard of God. Now, I'm not condemning anyone who's had children out of wedlock. I'm not. I'm just stating what God's standard is for us. That's why grace, that's why we love each other, and we try to take care of one another in those areas. But what we have is a consistent jamming down our throats the world's standards as to what is acceptable, what is legal, what is okay. The fact of the matter is, what is legal doesn't change God. Man makes things legal, but is it right with God? And we have to get past this point of saying, well, it's legal, so it must be okay. What does God say? What does God say about this? What does he say? You know, we should be in his word finding out what his standard is if we have questions. Or conversing with other more mature believers about what the scriptures say. So that we can get a proper understanding as to what's going on. But what do? We take what the world is saying as if it's true, and we run null and void as to what God has been saying as to the standard. I don't care how many operations a man or a woman goes through to change their gender. They're still a man and a woman. But the confusing thing is, now that we see here, is they're confusing people who don't accept the norms. God has a male and a female. It's the only genders I recognize. But today what we have is we have so many genders because that's appealing to people's individual emotional state instead of the truth of what God says. Leading young people, our people, even our families, to misjudge what is going on, because after all, we need to comply. I say no. What we are doing is we are bombarding ourselves with the world's standards. And it's an abomination to God. TV shows. We've seen these TV shows, we've heard of these TV shows about, you know, finding love on these islands or doing this or doing that. And what it has created is confusion. It really has. You know, I wouldn't want my stuff aired out there to get paid for this stuff. To be hurt just so that we could sell the television show. It's crazy. What should be secret should be kept in secret. We're robbing ourselves of our virginity. Soft porn has been inside of every magazine that I know of. And it affects males more because pornography is an outcropping of that. And it's probably one of the biggest threats to the man of God. who is leading the congregation of God. Believe it or not, it is. It violates God's standards. It's an abomination. Our language. Do we protect our language, or are we fast to speak words of anger, using God's name in vain, or using a cuss word, or whatever? You know, once that word is out, we can't take it back. Once we display certain aspects of the world to others, we can't take that back. That's innocence lost. And as we're exhorted through Scripture, this should not be who we are. But the church is buying into this, because slowly but surely, like the boiling of a frog in water, as you turn the heat up incrementally, eventually it kills it, because it doesn't realize that it's killing itself in this water. We see out of wedlock children. Video games are so violent, it's taking the innocence of our kid away. Premarital sex with multiple partners. And this really is upsetting to me, because we found Irene had a visit with a doctor. She had her checkup. And the doctor said that she's free from cervical cancer. Amen. She is. The reason for it is, if you have multiple partners, it's not a transmissional disease, so to speak, but because you have multiple partners, you're susceptible to cervical cancer. We thought it was a disease that was transpired and all. But once that innocence is gone, you open yourself up to things that God has prescribed for our safety. The world has altered the standard of God so that anything goes, creating confusion, that even the church is accepting the confusion rather having to deal with the world and moving forward in proclaiming the gospel. What is created is a world of infidelity, emotional disconnectedness, rampant divorce, single parent homes, human trafficking, pedophilia. And this is what really gets me. Teachers are having intercourse with students. That's becoming the norm. It's becoming acceptable. It's not acceptable to God. Gender confusion, psychological damages, all of this, and this is just a few of the things, are at our doorsteps. It really is. Are we going to accept this or minister the word of truth to people so that they can be truly set free in Jesus Christ? Are we protecting our innocence? Our purity. Purity is a state of freedom from contamination, whether it be sexual, psychological, emotional, or environmentally. It is the freedom from sin or guilt. It is being morally sanctified. What does morally sanctify bring to mind for you? Does it bring a thought that I'm being kept, or I'm keeping myself from all this nonsense because I've been betrothed to another? Whether you realize it or not, we are called the bride of Christ. And next week, I'll be talking about that. Dealing with the specifics of the church does not exonerate us from dealing with all these issues. God has put us in this place so that we can minister truth to win people to Jesus Christ, not to come to church. That is the biggest lie that Satan has told the church. Just invite them to church. No. The correct rule for evangelizing is to bring conviction of sin to them because they violated the law of God, and God has provided a means in which a person can be forgiven, redeemed, and go to heaven. How many of us have spoken to people and one of our questions is, do you think you'll go to heaven? And what's the response? I hope so. No, we're not. Our purity is worth more than that. Are we sexually pure? Are we psychologically pure? Emotionally pure? You know, I was talking with someone this past week, talking about a person who had been with us, and they don't get together as often because psychologically, they feel guilty. Not that we say anything, not that we judge, not that we do anything. But our purity is what we're after. It's just Christ in us that loves people, but people don't know how to deal with that purity, even in the church. The world is working overtime to try to label people, try to put people in certain groups. Salvation is for the individual. We can't have a group, although we can have many people come to Christ in our meetings and stuff, but an individual has to make that decision for Jesus Christ. The world is trying to put everybody into a group. And they will do it through fear, intimidation, even death to label you. Label me. Individuals who stay true to whom God has created us to be are free from the chains that the world wishes to shackle us with. We must refute the propaganda of the world. One of the biggest things that hinders the church is they don't know their identity in Jesus Christ. You look at young people today, you know, kids are believing anything and everything. Try to take away their phones. They live by phones. They're addicted by it. You want to see a kid go in withdrawal? Take their phone away from them. Everything. Because it's the world. The world has corrupted everything in there. And if our purity is worth anything, we would try to protect our children from that nonsense. Are we going to push back and speak the truth back to them? Or are we going to be wishy-washy and just let it happen? The result of losing our purity is bullying. Youths are committing suicide. I'm not saying teen suicide. I'm saying from youth. 8, 9, 10-year-olds are committing suicide because they can't take the peer pressure. Well, what are we doing? Our kids are in these schools. And I'm not saying to keep our kids in these schools. What I am saying is we need to protect them as much as possible. We need to do what God says to do. Example, my kids went through the public school system. It was bad then. It's worse now. And every year before they went to school, I'd start praying back in May, June. Lord, do you want to keep them in there? Lord, do you want us to put them in private school? Lord, what is it that you want? And he said to me very clearly, he said, if you take all the light out of the public school system, how dark is the darkness? We need to equip our kids to deal with this nonsense before it comes visiting our doors. And when it visits, are you equipped well enough to have to deal with it? And I know some families here are dealing with issues, gender and the confusion that is being stated. You gotta get equipped. Ignorance is not bliss in this case. I used to have a pastor friend that says, you know, I'm ignorant. I must be really blessed. And I just shake my head. That's not an absolvence of responsibility. According to God. He's going to hold us all accountable. I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid that because we're huddled in our little groups, that we're afraid to go out into the world. We're afraid of the lies that they're telling us when we should be declaring the truth of Jesus Christ to the world. Not everybody's going to believe what's going on. I can remember a story about a famous evangelist, Wycliffe. He said, today was an exceptionally great day. And they used to have public preaching. He said, I was hit with tomatoes, stones, spit upon, threatened bodily harm. And he considered that great. Now we just are afraid to say, hey, do you know Jesus? People are going to hell every day because we're afraid to share the good news with people. Stop telling them, come to church. Start telling them that they're sinful according to God's standard and God has a remedy for it. If they want to come to Streams, fine. But Streams is not here just to gather people in and people walk out the same way. They must be challenged in such a way. Feel good messages may be okay temporarily, but remember, we have a job to do in the midst of a dirty world. We have a job. Our humbleness is a state of being modest, knowing one's place and importance, having courteous respect, meek in attitude, polite and gentle. The world is totally the antithesis of this definition. It's bold, it's brash. I've seen some of these TV shows and I just like cover my eyes because I can't believe this garbage that they're putting on TV. And then I have to turn the channel. But that image is in your head. You can't get rid of it until you ask the Lord to wash your mind clean with the blood of Christ. Are you humble or are you braggadocious? Everything in this world is designed to deceive you by telling you what you want, what you need, what you deserve, and what you desire. Everything. The indiscernible, those who are caught with this, are easily swept by the lies that separate one from their loved ones, their plans for life, their money, their hopes, and their dreams. Think about it. There is a whole world out there that is trying to creep into the church by telling the church, you don't need that Jesus stuff. We got the answer. It's all right. We got a vaccination for you. I've been vaccinated by the Almighty. It's called the vaccination from sin. And any man-made thing is going to trick you. It is designed to keep you in fear Now what are they saying? Even with this vaccination of COVID, you need a booster. I said to a nurse one day, I said, you know, let's figure this out logically. I said, is the cold virus, has it ever been cured? She said, no. I said, has any virus been cured? She says, only the Spanish flu has been cured. Well then, it's impossible to cure COVID, right? Yeah. Well then, that's the same thing as having all these other viruses for the rest of our life, right? Do you hear this from government? Do you hear it from the health organizations? This is going to be with us. If you don't have Jesus Christ and you don't have the faith that God is going to protect us, I'm not saying that you won't catch COVID. I'm just saying that He will protect you from death. I caught COVID. I was ready to check out of Hotel 6. I'm still here. Yeah, they re-upped the room. We did. And I caught it because I love that individual. I showed my affection. I was not smart in what I did. I'm saying, church, be smart about what you're doing and your interaction with people and stuff. Do what God tells you to do. It's your conscience that's on the line. If God says you gotta get a shot, get a shot. Do what God says. He didn't say that to me though. Humble. Our ads, whether it's TV, whether it's radio, whatever, they're all designed to separate us. Casinos, card ads, vacations are all designed to appeal to our emotions rather than the facts of our life. Having stuff to give the image of self-importance is arrogant. Even our health care. How many of us at this great age that we're at have health care peddlers trying to say, well, our system is better. Our system is that. You know what? Yeah, I believe in health care. And I believe in doing what God says. But this is all nonsense. To get caught up into this stuff is confusing to you. If you know Him who is not confused and who is able to answer all your questions and keep you, why should there be anything different? Our humbleness, healthcare, drugs, all kinds of medical drugs for any kind of physical or psychological ailments or maladies. Do you not realize that if you are emotionally stable, the chance of you having any kind of ailment or malady from these ailments are minimized? Do you realize this? It's part of the promises of God that if we keep our minds stayed on Him, He gives us a whole litany of promises. Submission. Submission is the unresistive in attitude or conduct. And I know that this subject may offend people. We are not to be politically charged with the world's garbage. You look at how the world, Trump has been gone for over, well, we'll say November, almost a year, but they are insatiably fixated on him. Anyone affiliated with him. And yet, the church is politically involved in this nonsense. I had an elder one time say to me, "Pastor, you need to really get on board, and you have a lot to say in speaking truth to the neighbors, your friends. You know, you should consider Black Lives Matter, and you should be involved in getting this person elected." Let me tell you, the only person who didn't need to get elected, who has his throne on my heart, is Jesus Christ. I could care less what is going on in the world. As long as I'm doing what God says to do, as long as you're doing what God says to do, He will prosper you. You look at the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. Did they prosper? Yeah, they did. And what was their reward? The world was coming against them to eliminate them because they weren't knuckling under the submission of Pharaoh. And what did God do? He used the plagues to reveal to them. He used nature to reveal to Pharaoh and the Egyptians, or the world system at that time, just who was in control. He's doing it again. Hurricanes, tornadoes, heat, fires, landslides, floods. God uses all these events, earthquakes. Haiti just had an earthquake. 7.2. They had one 11 years ago. Did that nation repent? No. This nation, is it smart enough to realize that it's out of the will of God? No. Because they are busy trying to force God out of a nation. First Peter 3:1-7. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Chaste, remember. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may be unhindered. We have a problem in the church, and it's not with the women. It's not. It's with men. How good you think you are, you're not meeting the standard that God sets for us. I've heard so many guys say, "I want to get married." I said, "Why?" You can't even take care of your responsibilities right now. You impregnate women like you're doing them a favor. And you don't take care of your responsibility. One of the biggest things that I've seen with teenagers is this act of young boys coercing women, young girls, that if you love me, you'll have sex with me. And because the young girl is naive, she will believe that lie and has sex till she's impregnated. And then he's off to greener pastures. Our problem is we don't have enough men standing up and being men in the church. We don't have men who are servant leaders. They want to be served. They want to be kept. They want all the privileges without any responsibility. Christ died for the church to set an example for men to care for women. I am not coming down. I'm just setting the standard. We are to be men, servant leaders of our homes. As Christ serves the church, we are to serve our family. In my family, when I learned this lesson, it was my children first. It was my wife second. It was God, then me. Because if I wasn't doing what God was saying, I would negate my responsibility to my children, to my wife. I was always the last to receive as long as my family was taken care of. And God blessed us. He still blesses us. I can't tell you how awesome He is. Did I make mistakes? Absolutely. But I didn't make the mistake of looking for someone else to take care of my responsibility. And you women that have children through these relationships are just boys. God is not angry with you. God is for you. Jesus did more for women's lib than women lib has done for women. He has set you free. He has freed you from guilt. That's why I'm so hard on guys. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what I have to say. The responsibility is the wife has to be submissive. How can she be submissive to a boy? I said to a person one day as I was watching the negotiations going on between that person and their child. I said, you don't negotiate with a child. You just tell that child what the parameters are, and these are the consequences of violation. Makes life so much easier. You don't have to spank them. You don't have to yell at them. And what do people do? They yell at their kids across from the room. Yo, don't go over to them. Talk to them. Instruct them privately. Well, they won't listen to me. Well, if you're screaming, nobody's going to listen to you. Go over, grab them by the hand, take them in the room privately, instruct them. My scripture says, instruct a child, train up a child. Men, we will have to train you up so that you can deal with your responsibility. Period. I know this subject is upsetting. Even to a point where I don't want to serve God like that. Well, that's idol worship. Really, it's like when you make a God to your will instead of being submitted to our God and His will, that's idol worship. That's sin. You need to repent or your life is going to be confusing. It's going to be fear-ridden. It's not going to be blessed by God. World governments. Romans 13. Let every soul be subjected to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. This is why I'm saying that we should not be involved directly in political activism that is rampant upon. We should be rampant about getting the message of Jesus Christ out. The end is almost here. It's almost here. Who is it that the Holy Spirit has laid upon your heart to speak to? Well, I don't have time. Why don't you have time? Well, because I'm campaigning for this person to get reelected. Did God say to do that? I don't know. Worst thing to tell me. You don't know. We are to obey authorities. We have the right in this country to vote. Vote. But do your homework. Vote for the one that is the most closest to God's standard. Or is courting God's standard. I don't care if he's Democrat. I don't care if he's Republican. I don't care if he's the man from Mars. I don't care. As long as he can be used of God to forward God's agenda, that's all that matters. We are submitted to a king. But we act like he's not in authority. We do what we want to do, when we want to do it, and how we want to do it. When was the last time you thought about asking God what he thought? You may be surprised. I exhort you to remain kingdom focused by submitting to Jesus Christ and winning souls before Christ returns. For the believer, we're just passing through this world on our way back home to achieve our ultimate destiny and to be with our Father forever. The world's politics are of no concern to us except when they impede us from bringing in our Father's harvest. As long as we are fully submitted to Christ, having humbleness of heart, maintaining our purity, not polluting ourselves with idols, and keeping our virginity intact, we have no problems. Let us figure out how to bring in the harvest, overcome the world's obstacles, doing it because great is our reward which awaits for us in heaven. Stay focused to the task at hand, and God will work through us. There are people who just attend church to attend church. The church is to equip you for the works of the ministry. Read Ephesians 4. What is the ministry that God has called you to be in? And why aren't you doing what God called you in? I don't need an explanation. Give it to God. He's in control. Well, it's the pastor's job. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've heard that. And I respond, I know what my job is. I've read the Bible. God speaks to me. He tells me things about each and every one of you. I know more than you really realize or care to realize. But I'm here to help you. Pastor Gary is here to help you achieve true success. He's here because I've recognized the anointing that is upon him. And now we have two of the fivefold ministries working. I've said in the past, I see apostles. I see prophets. I see evangelists. I see teachers. I see everyone who is part of the body of Christ. But not everybody is an evangelist. Not everybody is a teacher. Not everybody is a prophet. Not everybody is a pastor. Not everybody. These are gifts. These are people who have governmental authority over your life that we have to give an account to God for. And God says we're worthy of double honor. The church needs to stop compromising. Stop apologizing for what God has said for us to do. God is tired of waiting for the church to wake up. We are in the last hours, not the last days. Last hours. I want to exhort you to be all you can be in Jesus Christ. You will not regret it. Whether that is here at Streams or in Tennessee, God has designed to provide for us if we do our part in trusting Him. Is that hard? No. What's hard is our disobedience. We need to repent. We need to get it covered by the blood. And then we need to do something about what God has called into our lives. Amen? Father, I just thank you. I give you, given your word to them today, Lord God. I ask that it finds fertile soil within their hearts. You are the King of Majesty, Lord God. And there's nothing too difficult for you. As we go forward, Lord God, as we plunge forward into your fields, God, show us how great you are by using us and using the time in which to win souls. Let us stop with the lie that it's the pastor's job or it's this one's job. You're there. You're waiting for us to show up, God. Lord, we want to glorify you. We want to bring your harvest in. Give us the opportunities. Help us to recognize those opportunities. And as Leonard Ravenhill said, seize those opportunities in a lifetime of those opportunities. God, as we go forward today, may you bless our comings and our goings, our homes. But most importantly, God, may we bless you through our obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you are in need of prayer.